Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you haven't figured out from our series title, and also I would encourage you to attend our midweeks, that series title for the midweeks is Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. And for today, we have Every Heart Prepare. So maybe we're talking about something globally for our Advent season, because that's what Advent is about, is preparing. Preparing for someone important. And so this is maybe not my favorite Christmas movie, but it's high up on the list, and especially as a millennial, this is one of the this is my generation, right? So I got a clip from a Christmas movie to illustrate preparing. So Molly, if you want to run that. Buddy the Elf, Santa is coming, and he is excited because he thinks the most important person in his life is about to show up where he's at. And so he spends all night decorating the department store to make sure that it is ready for Santa to come. Likewise, for us, we are preparing to celebrate the most important person in our lives coming to us, Jesus Christ. And so we make preparations and we decorate everywhere in our houses. At least most of us do. And so everything that he did in that montage scene meant something to him, or between him and Santa. Well, everything that we use to prepare for Christmas in the Advent season should point us to Jesus. And in fact, they often do, if we've forgotten what they mean, some of us, or never learned it. But that's why this sermon series has been designed, so that we can look at all the different things that we use to prepare for Christmas during the Advent season and see how they point us to Christ. And so today we're looking at evergreens, if you hadn't figured out by Paula's children's message. And I think that it's important that we do this and spend the time here and to recognize that evergreens, in three different ways, they help us get ready for the Christmas season. And so Molly's going to put up the 3 points. There's three things that I want you to take away from this. The evergreens in Advent preserve the memory of paradise. They point us to Christ's incarnation, and they prepare us for his return. So they preserve paradise, they point us to Christ, and they prepare us for his return. So Christmas trees, perhaps the tradition of using them in the household is perhaps as old as the 700s, maybe a little bit later than that. It's said that in tradition that St. Boniface in Germany, when he chopped down the oak tree that the pagans were gathering around at this time of year to offer their sacrifices and worship, he went out there and chopped the tree down and said, "That's not a holy tree. This is your holy tree," and pointed to an evergreen. That's how the story goes. And somewhere in around 1000 AD, they were putting up Christmas trees now. Most people. And then in the Middle Ages, so around that same time, 1000 to 1300, the Western Church adopted the 24th of December as the feast day of Adam and Eve. And actually, Catholics still do this, so this is not just something that, you know, it's been going on for 1,000 years. And they use this to remind them of what God had done in the beginning, in creating paradise for us. There were not only a feast of Adam and Eve, but there were paradise plays where they would come together and they would remember the story. And then also they would use a paradise tree as part of the play, and then in the homes too. So, and the paradise tree was an evergreen. Because we needed to be reminded of what God originally intended this world to be. Because in the bleak of winter, the dead of winter, there's not a lot that we look around and see that's growing and green. So many trees have lost their leaves. It's cold. The days are short and the nights are long. And we need a reminder, because what we see around us are the effects of sin. You see, the part of the paradise play was not only to recognize what God had done, but to confess that we had sinned, and that Adam and Eve had sinned, and paradise had been lost. And so the evergreen reminds us of the paradise that God originally intended earth to be. And so at the end of Hosea's prophecy, at the end of his book, the last chapter, we hear these words where Israel had basically descended into apostasy and turned away from God. And here we read God's word where the prophet says, "I will heal their apostasy." This is what God is speaking to his people. "I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them." You see, God knew that we needed him to do the work of saving us and taking care of us. And then at the end of this text for today, and it's the next to last verse in the book, God says this, "It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit." You see, the evergreen tree reminds us of God and his provision, not just today, but all the way back in the very beginning. And that it doesn't change, that it's always been God who provides. So the evergreen preserves the memory of paradise. It also points us to Christ's incarnation. And for that, we go to our gospel text for today in John chapter 11. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." You know, really, this section of John's gospel account, it really goes, this whole big narrative, it goes even back into chapter 10. And so if you understand the chapter 10 and 11 are kind of really tied together. If you go back in 10, Jesus is talking and he says to them, in John 10:10, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Present tense, not in the future, but to have it now. And again, speaking in verse 28 of those whom he has saved and those who he gives faith to, "I give them eternal life presently, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." See, that's God's promise to us, God's promise to you, that though we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God has made a way through Jesus Christ to be redeemed and forgiven and granted eternal life. The evergreen points us to Christ because he was raised on a tree and he bled and died on that cross for you and for me. Around his head was a crown of thorns, dead branches, killing the author of life. But thanks be to God, Jesus did not stay in the grave, but he rose again, showing his mastery over life and death. You see, Jesus in John 11, he raises Lazarus from the grave after talking about his mastery, and then he proves it through Lazarus, but then he goes one step further. He goes into death himself and then comes out again, never to die again, as the firstborn from the dead, as we confess, so that in everything he might be preeminent and show his love and his grace and his mastery over sin, death, and the devil. So every time you see an evergreen tree during Christmas, it is a reminder of Christ who is alive and who grants life. It also prepares us for his return. So we know that Jesus didn't stay walking on the earth after he rose from the dead, but for 40 days he showed himself alive, and then he ascended into heaven. But not just to stay there forever and to leave us languishing on earth in a sin-broken world. No, he's coming back to redeem everything, to make all things new. And so then we read in Revelation, in John's Revelation account in chapter 22, the picture of the new heavens and the new earth that Jesus will come down to bring, to usher in for us and to bring us into his presence there. He says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. You see, the end brings us back to the beginning, to the Hosea passage. We see that God has always provided and he will always provide for us in eternity. Also, John writes, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I don't know how many of you know this, but evergreen trees, the leaves or the needles really, have healing and medicinal properties. And people for centuries have known that this is true. In fact, when people were first coming over to the New World from Europe, I believe it was the French when they arrived, the Native Americans taught them how to use the needles from evergreen trees to prevent and cure scurvy, because there's vitamin C in them, and so you can actually make tea out of them. If you're one of those doomsday preppers, you already knew that, but if you weren't, you've got some new information. And people throughout the centuries have known that the evergreen trees have healing properties within them in all different ways. And so when we see the evergreen tree, we see the healing that it provides. But that's of a physical nature, and that is good. But the tree of life that God provides for us in the new heavens and the new earth isn't just for physical healing, but spiritual healing as well. You see, that is the joy and the hope that we have in the new heavens and the new earth, that it will be completely redeemed and free of sin, death, and the devil. None of those evil things will have any power anymore in those days. And we will be perfected to be what we were originally intended to be in the garden. That will be our destiny and that will be our eternity. And nothing that we can do can stop that from happening. Nothing the devil can try to do can stop that from happening. That is God's promise to you. That if you believe in him and you believe in his son and in his death and resurrection, you too will have everlasting life, forgiveness, and salvation. And no one can take that away from you, because no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. And so the evergreen tree reminds us and prepares us for that eternity of joy and love and peace which we will spend with God in his presence to the glory of his holy name. So as you prepare your homes this Advent season for the coming of our Lord and the celebration of it, I pray that you will use this evergreen symbol to prepare your hearts to receive that forgiveness, life, and salvation anew. And then also to proclaim this gift to those who walk into your home that might not know what these things mean. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. In Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.